Addicts clean, are you listening? Sober drunks, noses glistening. A beautiful show, we're right here, you know. Recovery 101, a wonderland. Gone away is the old life. Here to stay is the new life. We do a fun show, we're right here, you know. Recovery 101, a wonderland. In the meta, we can build a program and pretend that it's from Jimmy K. He'll say, are you sober? We'll say, no, man. But Bill can do the job the AA way. When we're clean, ain't it thrilling? Sober drunks are a-chillin'. We'll frolic and play the recovery way. Recovery 101, a wonderland. Recovery 101, a wonderland.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thank you to Bruce and Shelley for our Recovery 101 Wonderland jingle. Awesome. Love that. Welcome to Recovery 101. Oh, Recovery 101 does not speak for AA and AOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMAHAFAIR.
Any of them there, guys.
Yeah, none. The opinions are ours and ours alone because no one else would claim them. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce, as always, with...
Shelley.
And Markham.
Oops, whatever.
Got her.
Got her.
So, it's winter in Southern California.
Are you breaking my chair?
Huh?
He's rocking.
You're rocking and it's going click, click, click. Are you breaking my chair?
No. It's winter in Southern California.
It is.
Which is actually kind of wintry. It's been, you know, we've been getting some nighttime temperatures down in the 30s, which is
for us,
not
freezing.
All that usual. Well, it's that damn global warming, you know. Yeah. So, Shelley, how's the book sales going?
Oh, they're just rocking.
And the book is?
Shelley Burnett updated her status.
Available on Amazon. You guys should check it out. She's a great... She's the Irma Bombeck for our generation. If you don't know who Irma Bombeck is...
Then buy her book. You'll find out.
Wouldn't go that far because Irma Bombeck is an icon. She's a classic. I grew up reading Irma Bombeck, and I was a kid, and I still laughed at her stuff.
You're going to be Irma Bombeck.
For a new generation.
A better looking Irma Bombeck.
I was going to say, she was a lovely lady, but she had some hair issues. I mean, I'm not sure. I've been fighting with my hair my whole life, and now I finally actually kind of like it some days.
I want her hair. I used to like my hair.
I want her job. I just don't want her hair.
Matter of fact, I was watching, the Wham! Last Christmas video today, and I'm looking at George Michael's hair from, like, circa whatever it is, 1987. I'm like, you could do that perfect hair. Him and Barry Gibb.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Barry Gibb's hair.
Yeah, everybody loved Barry Gibb's hair. Yeah, it was awesome. Matter of fact, our good friend Doug posted a thing on Facebook the other day, and he was playing he's playing a couple of songs, and a lot of times he says, see if you guys can figure out what the song is and post stuff up about it. And he was playing some stuff from Sgt. Pepper's, and I had to throw in, you know, a great cover of that tune is also done by the Bee Gees and Peter Frampton. And I posted it up there, and everyone's like, oh, actually, that's a really good version of that. Yeah, it was.
He's actually the last Bee Gee left alive. All of his brothers are dead.
I know. You would have thought Andy would have, you know.
Well, he died of drug addiction.
Yeah, well, you know, another one bites the dust.
He died young.
Yeah, he did.
And the other two, didn't they die of cancer?
Yeah.
Maurice and...
Robin.
Robin.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to the Bee Gees Hour.
We're staying alive, staying alive.
Staying alive.
Jeez, oh, Pete, that was horrible.
Yeah. Dogs are howling for miles around here.
We
right
couldn't
now.
Even find that note with... GPS.
You guys found the lost note. Congratulations.
Yeah. Couldn't find that note with GPS. That's a good one.
I like that.
So, banter.
Yeah.
About what? We've already bantered it. We're 4 minutes into the show.
Pretty, we were at yesterday.
Oh, at Jake's funeral.
Yeah.
Or at Jake's celebration
of life.
A grip of people.
How many people shared?
Just a handful.
Not that many people shared, but there was
they
300
really
people there.
They wanted to keep it to an hour there.
I
have no idea how many people shared at the deal afterwards.
Where was that?
I wasn't able to go. Somebody's home. So
I can't imagine all those people showing up at
a
house.
No, there were 300 people easy at that.
That's why I didn't go to that, because I thought, you know what? That place is going to get overrun with people, because there was just a ton of people. Yeah. Real nice place, that Central Park facility thing. Yeah. That was nice.
Yeah, it is.
And we might mention that these were the services for the person that was mentioned on a show a few weeks ago, Jake.
Yep.
And, Jake's show.
I said to Bruce, I said, if people realized how popular they were, they might hang around longer.
Well, when I found out how many people had been there, because I wanted to go, but I couldn't because I had to give a report for my church to the district superintendent, and that goes to the bishop, and so it was kind of a hairy deal. Yeah. I had to do it.
Got it.
But it kind of made me sad when I heard how many people went to it. I thought, if he had made it, think about how many people he would have influenced.
Yep.
Over the years. If that many people at this point in his recovery went to his funeral, I mean, the number would have been staggering. The lost potential just floored me.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, like we mentioned in that show, Jake's show, hopefully his passing will have a positive impact on a lot of people as well.
Yeah, for a minute.
And that's what I think.
Well, we'll see.
If it saves one.
Yeah. Well.
I'd be thrilled.
Oh. Matter of fact, we're sitting in a meeting. The girl that spoke at the Thursday night meeting was his girlfriend. And I didn't know who she was. I thought maybe she was a currently using dope fiend, and she's the one that found him. And she was saying, she said, well, I've had a pretty shitty week. You know, I finally met someone I really cared about. I let him in through my huge walls that I have. And fell in love with him, and I found him the other day with a needle sticking out of his arm, dead. And I was like, ooh, because I didn't know who it was. Yeah. And, so, bummer.
She didn't apparently know that he had gone out.
Well, I think that's probably par for the course. I mean, we sitting here in this room had him go out a few times and weren't even sure.
Yep.
Anyway, you know what that means.
Oh, dear. Is it time already?
Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. What happened there?
I can't do the news unless you move.
That was really low.
Well, yeah, because we blast the board out every time we do them, so I toned mine down.
Just toned it down.
Believe me, it will be
tone low.
You're doing the high tenor. He's doing the bass.
That's right. Do, 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 do,
actually,
do,
the bass is,
do, 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 do.
Bass is what really projects. That's why foghorns are so low, because you can hear them over long, long distances.
Yeah. They project. That doesn't mean that they get the attention.
That's right. Like a high shriek.
Well, I don't know. Foghorn gets my attention.
If I'm on a boat, it does.
I was going to say, I might be wrong, but isn't that the entire idea of the foghorn is to get attention?
It has no secondary purpose.
No. You hear that, and it's foggy, you better watch your ass.
Yep.
I forgot. Okay. We have shout-outs to Dakota, Natalie, Carol, John, Take 12 Radio, Joey, Sally, James, Randy Stryker, Alexandria, Georgette, Jack, Bill, Joe, Fran, Dan, Neil, Damon, Brian, and Elizabeth.
Where have the Rebellion dogs been lately?
They've commented a couple times recently. Mm-hmm.
But I think that, if I can remember his name, actually, I think his name was actually on the last email. Last time I mentioned him.
Okay.
Now I got to scroll back down to the news. Okay. Elizabeth sent this story in.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
I lolled.
You lolled?
Yes. I lolled.
You actually lolled?
I actually lolled.
Did you lameo?
Lameo.
This took place in Germany.
Lamefile.
This happened in Germany. This was a business caught on fire. The business was a sex shop where they were showing films. There was a gentleman at this particular sex shop
who
was having an unintentional private screening. He was by himself in the theater, perhaps because the movie wasn't, I guess, up to par. It was entitled Throbin Hood. yes.
Throbin Hood.
He was sitting in the middle of the theater when the building caught on fire.
Huh.
Now, normally when you start things in life, it's a good idea to finish them. However, if the building is on fire, it is okay to zip up your fly and leave the building in the middle of the movie.
Was he overcome by fumes or something? And then
no, they finally had to drag him out. They tried to get him out of the building before the entire building was engulfed in flames.
You know, asphyxiation.
And it was full of smoke. Well, yeah, autoerotic asphyxiation. He kept telling the theater attendants, no, I want to finish the movie. Keep the movie going. I need to finish the movie. I haven't gotten to the end of the movie. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. It's a porn.
Throbin Hood.
How does a porn movie end?
Well, there's
the money shot. I don't know either. I never get to the end of the
movie. There's the last money shot, and then they pretend to wrap it up, and then
you know what? I always love it when, like with this Throbin Hood, they always have these catchy names that sound like other movies. So there was Debbie Does Dallas, and then there was Debbie Does Dishes, which was a takeoff on basically what was a takeoff. You know, I mean, there was Falcon's Breast, there was Indiana Jones, and the Black Hole of Mamou.
Yeah.
There was Rambone.
Okay, so eventually...
Not that I've seen any of these.
Oh, of course
the building
not.
Was engulfed enough, and there was enough smoke going on, the attendants informed the firefighters that there was still a man in there that wouldn't come out because he wanted to finish the movie. They left the movie running. They ran out of the building.
Yeah.
So they're not going to stop to turn the movie off. The firefighters finally had to drag him out, and... In between coughing and gagging and choking, he started complaining that he'd spent €7.50 and hadn't finished the movie. Or hadn't finished.
Hadn't finished.
Was he Schwanstucker hanging out?
Because,
yes. This wasn't Germany, right?
It was Germany. And yes, he was sort of letting it all hang out. And he was, and I'm quoting here, in a state of high sexual arousal, according to the fireman.
Autoerotica.
Wow.
Asphyxiation.
They had to take him to the hospital to treat him for smoke inhalation.
And priapism.
Well, and, yeah. he, what do they call it? Priap? What?
No, he just said it.
What is it called?
Priapism.
Yes, I thought that was hilarious.
Okay. You know what's funny? When I was a kid, like when I was like maybe 16, I remember walking around high school. I almost had a hard-on for 4 hours, you know, like on a regular basis.
But not 4 straight hours.
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe.
Okay, the next story.
You know, the wind was blowing the right direction.
That's and
the next story is in Japan.
Oh, Ohio.
In Hashimoto City, a 41-year-old man was found not guilty, by reason of insanity, of stabbing someone for using their smartphone on the train. He started shouting. There was a kid on the train who was messing around with his smartphone. He started shouting at this kid to turn off his smartphone because the electromagnetic waves were stabbing his body.
Oh.
By reason of insanity. There you have it.
And he said to the police, I couldn't take the pain from the stabbing and warned him to stop, but he ignored me. That made me angry, so I blew up. But he didn't literally blow up. He went over and stabbed the guy to get him to stop using his smartphone. Psychiatric evaluation found that he was insane. Now, interestingly enough, the reaction to this verdict in Japan has been extremely negative because what they're saying is being the insane is the best solution for life because you can do anything you want and you'll get away with it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
apparently, the insanity defense is not used very much in Japan.
I had a guy I sponsored once.
I was going to say, who was the first person you thought of when you heard that story?
My friend Dave.
So did I.
Yeah. Sure. Dave, who told me one time when my daughter called me because she texted me because she was running late, and I answered her text, And this guy looked at me across the room and he said, I knew that's when you were controlling me with your phone. And yes. I looked at this guy and said, you and I have the exact same phone, and it's a Metro PCS phone, which is not like the greatest phone on the planet.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't think it's got microwave technology in this phone. I'm like, I think this phone was $69 or something at the time. And I'm like, I really don't think it's able to do that. Because if I could control you with my phone, mm-hmm. you'd be detailing my car right now.
That's right.
Worcester, Massachusetts.
Worcester.
Or Worcestershire?
Worcestershire?
I don't know.
I can never say that.
Yeah. Whatever Worcester. It is. Somebody in Massachusetts, please tell us how to pronounce that. Amador Medina is in custody. They finally caught him digging up bodies out of the Hope Cemetery.
Why? Shelley? Why?
He had been doing this on and off, and they'd been trying to catch him. They didn't know who was doing it.
See if they're wearing jewelry and stuff?
No. He was digging. All the bodies that he dug up were buried more than a century ago. Because he said he needed the bones for medicinal purposes.
Ooh.
He was using them in Santeria practices.
Got no Santeria.
Now, the thing is, I mean, yeah, there are laws against digging up dead bodies, but there's nobody to sue him because he only dug up people that had been dead for more than 100 years and their relatives have scattered or dispersed or whatever.
You would think that the place that owns this, the cemetery would sue him because they have to
maybe.
Put all the...
For
they
trespassing.
Have to bury everything
well,
back
that's
up.
Well, I'm sure he was charged with trespassing.
Enough.
See, I'm a total dope fiend. The first thing I think of is he's digging up people to, you know, to get that ruby necklace off
exactly.
grandma or something.
I don't think that they typically bury people with a lot of jewelry these days.
But they did.
Fake.
Well, these are people 100 years ago.
True. That's true.
I have a feeling that many of those people that were buried in grandma's heirloom jewelry, that the heirloom jewelry didn't actually make it into the
that's
ground.
Right. That's right.
And this is today's what were they thinking or what are they thinking moment. And this is out of
Florida.
Exactly. Hernando County Jail, Hernando County, Florida, have decided to start a new program for inmates in their jails because they want to teach them a craft so that they can be productive members of society when they get out of jail.
What are they teaching them?
Hydroponics.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
They literally are teaching these inmates how to grow leafy vegetables using hydroponics in a small area. It's in a little shed. Yeah.
This is a growing concern.
They are teaching them how to be marijuana growers, basically.
I knew a lot of
needed.
People that...
Needed.
Have you ever seen, like, up close and personal, something hydroponically grown?
Yeah.
We used to have that up in Oregon. They had these companies that were like a lighting gallery, but it was all hydroponic stuff. I mean, it was like, you know, for growing your herb garden.
Yeah.
You know, well, and they would grow stuff in like styrofoam because
yeah.
styrofoam works just like soil, and you'd pump the nutrients into the styrofoam.
Yep.
And it was the weirdest looking thing. I mean, very
effective.
Sterile looking.
Well, right
and
now.
Quite. Productive. I always love when my daughter or people say, oh, the weed today is so much stronger. Yeah, maybe stronger than certain weed.
Well, right now they have 440 heads of lettuce growing. This is their initial effort.
How many bud plants do they have growing?
Effort. He said that they're going to actually use the lettuce to feed the inmates.
Mm-hmm.
He said if the lettuce goes well, officials are thinking about growing some other things.
Oh, I'm sure.
That they'll be really popular if they go ahead and use those in the for the inmates.
Yeah,
salad.
Really.
Yes.
It might calm them down. Yeah. Who knows? Okay.
We're putting in the food order this week. What do you need? 7,000 bags of Cheetos.
Yeah.
Oh, what are we serving the inmates this week?
This next story is out of Austin, Texas. 81-year-old grandmother Elvira Montes. She doesn't really like beer. She prefers scotch.
Scotchy, scotch, scotch.
Yes. Despite the fact that she prefers scotch to beer, she was the oldest finisher of the 2015 Flow Track Beer Mile World Championship.
Yeah, a girl.
Which
she drank four 12-ounce beers. at each quarter mile lap. She did
four
the
at each
course.
One or one at each one? I think it's one at each
I
one.
I think one 12-ounce beer at each quarter mile. It's a one-mile track.
Okay.
She did it in 20 minutes, 24 seconds.
She did the 20-minute mile?
20-minute mile. Well, you got to stop and drink a beer, too.
You could walk a 20-minute mile.
Well, yeah, but you got to stop and drink a beer in between each quarter mile.
My my cousin and his wife are part of a running club in South Carolina. And actually, they, even though they're part of this running club, what they say is we're a drinking club with a running problem.
Yes.
Well, she says, I'm quoting here, her, I should have been a little faster. Now, keep in mind, you're saying she did a 20-minute mile. She was the winner. She's 81 years old.
Yeah.
So everybody else was slower than her.
That was in that age category.
Yes.
I'm sure. Yeah.
First of all, how many people were in that age category?
Yeah.
She did a better time. She did a better time than her grandniece, who was the one who originally got her in it.
Grandniece drank more beer, though, huh?
I don't know. Now, I'm going to quote her because this quote cracks me up. She says, I tried to drink the first one really fast, but I couldn't. The second one went down really smooth. The third, even better. The fourth one was all right.
All right. Go, Granny, go, Granny, yes. Go, Granny, go.
She beat her offspring by 50 seconds. Yeah. And her son-in-law, who was married to the grandniece, didn't even finish. She said, I don't have any. Now, people are saying, well, you're in a beer run. What kind of an alcoholic are you? I'm quoting her when she says, I don't have any secrets. I just wanted to prove that I could drink and run beer. Or run and drink beer. Drink and run beer.
Here's what I don't get. You can walk 3 miles an hour, which means if you walk the entire way, you could do it in 20 minutes.
Right.
How does the grandnephew or the son-in-law or whatever, how does this guy not even complete a mile?
Okay, Bruce. Okay, here you go. Let's do some figuring here. You're a beer drinker, so you enter this.
Yeah.
And you get to the first quarter mile, and you have a beer.
Yes.
And you get to the second quarter mile.
All that carbonation's been sloshing around in there.
And so you have a beer.
Yeah. I can't wait to get
have
to the
another
next beer.
No, maybe you have another beer before you leave that one. Maybe you have another beer before you leave that one.
Yeah, it's kind of a social
thing. Now you
have
to find your way down the next quarter mile.
That's true. You might have had six beers before you even started.
Exactly. To get warmed up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the hot dog eating contest where the guy eats a good breakfast to get his stomach stretched out enough.
I had a time when my daughter, who of course was running the mile every week at school.
Yes.
And
wrestling and...
I can't remember what the problem was, but she was going to run away from home or something, and I decided to take off running after her. And she literally, after, I don't know, a couple blocks, I haven't ran since I was in high school, not that far. She literally turned around and started running backwards, laughing at me.
Faster, yeah.
And I ended up with shin splints after that where my ankles were just
done. Oh, you couldn't walk for like a week.
Yeah.
This story happened out of the UK. Okay, I have to just give the title of the story because that tells it all, really. Stolen circumcision ambulance found after tip-off.
After tip-off?
That was the headline.
Just the tip.
Yes. They actually have these things in the UK. Katie, you got to write in and tell us about this because I've never heard of this.
A bris ambulance?
This is actually an ambulance for circumcision. Like the doctor gets in the ambulance, goes out, does your circumcision, and if anything's wrong, there's an ambulance. You can go right to the hospital. I mean, it's like...
You're 2 days old.
I don't understand this. At any rate, the ambulance was parked in front of a client's home. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find the guy's name. I can't find the actual perpetrator's name, but a guy jumped into the ambulance and drove away. Now, it's kind of a distinctive car. It's like bright blue and yellow and says circumcision ambulance. So... when people began calling in that the circumcision ambulance was driving erratically, Scotland Yard was able to find it fairly quickly and arrest the perpetrator.
Where's a good rabbi when you need him?
Yeah, I just don't get that. I'm sorry.
Do you remember back in the day, like in the 70s, there was a, I can't remember for what car it was, like Lincoln Continental, and they're cutting a diamond as it's going over all these bumps to show the smooth ride. They're going to cut this $100,000 diamond, and it has to be this precise cut. And then Saturday Night Live did a spoof where there's a rabbi, and he's going to do a circumcision, and they're just bouncing over all this stuff. He's like, L'chaim! It's like, oh, my God.
This next story is out of Long Island, New York. Breen Peck, 52 years old. He's an air traffic controller. Well, he was an air traffic controller.
Yeah, I'm guessing he's not anymore.
No,
he's
not.
Or he wouldn't make the news.
He was arrested on drug and weapons charges during a traffic stop. He was originally pulled over for, you know, basic traffic stop.
Was he doing cocaine like the guy in the last show?
He was pulled over for illegal window tint. And when the cops pulled him over, he told the cops that there was a loaded handgun behind his seat and another in his cargo area. So they found the guns. Then I don't know what their cause was to search him, but they discovered meth in his front pants pocket.
Well, the reason to search him is to see if he had more guns.
Well, the idiot actually told the police, and I'm quoting him, "That's meth. I smoke it to stay awake. I'm an air traffic controller."
Wow.
Holy crap.
I can't wait to fly again.
Can you imagine a tweaker pushing tin? Really?
Come fly with me. Fly, let's fly away.
You'd end up, he'd be looking at the dots. You'd start out in L.A., go to Ontario, Canada. Oh, no, I don't like him there. Let's go down to Albuquerque. Oh, no, that's not right either. Let's switch the Albuquerque and the Chicago flights. I mean, can you imagine? You'd be everywhere.
Yeah.
And then you'd end up right where you started.
Yeah. And you'd say, oh, that's much better.
Hiding in the men's room.
Yes. Holy crap. Okay, and finally this is the, we're running a little over, but this, I like this story. Speaking of Albuquerque, New Mexico, Kirtland Air Force Base was locked down for an hour on Wednesday.
Why, Shelley? Why?
As well as a hospital and a couple of schools in the area. Because residents in the area called multiple times that they were hearing gunshots. The Air Force Base was locked down. They were considering scrambling, I guess. I don't know what that means, but in that sense, because it's Albuquerque, what are they going to do? Take the planes to, I don't know.
Depends what they're scrambling.
Yeah. Okay. Well, whatever they were doing.
Could be scrambling a drone, for all you know.
At first, security forces could not substantiate the claims of gunfire, nor could they determine where the sounds were coming from. Finally, it doesn't say who the actual person was that called, but the spokesperson for the military base, Eric Elliott, said that a local police department got a call from someone who had been out in his front yard popping heavy-duty bubble wrap, and he called in to say, I think that was me. The bubble wrap was louder than I expected.
Bubble wrap?
When they determined that most of the calls to the police department had come from right in his neighborhood.
And I don't know if anybody else is like this. Can you hold bubble wrap in your hand without popping it?
Well,
I can't.
He had the really big, you know, heavy-duty stuff with the giant bubbles.
Oh, yeah.
And was just pop, 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 pop. And people were calling the
police. I'd still, you know, those other people were drunk or something. I don't see how you can confuse that for gunfire.
They locked down two schools, a hospital, and an Air Force base over bubble wrap.
Yeah. They caught him with a drone. There he is.
Got him.
Yeah. Well, no, he called in to say, I'm sorry, I think that was me.
Oops.
Awesome.
And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the Boozy News.
Looking for a new mattress? Not sure where to go or how to start? Want to make sure you get the best mattress for your money and one that will give you years of sleeping pleasure? There's only one answer, and that is Dreamland Discount Mattress in Covina. At Dreamland, Bruce and his dedicated team will ensure that you find the right mattress at the right price that will give you years of sleeping comfort. Dreamland Discount Mattress offers a wide range of options, styles, and choices, all at up to 80% off. Want to hear what many of their customers are saying about them? Check them out on Yelp to learn why you should become a satisfied customer of Dreamland Discount Mattress 2. Go by and visit them at 1007 North Azusa Avenue in Covina, or give them a call at 626-331-8044. And remember, at Dreamland Discount Mattress, prices are always up to 80% off.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Welcome back.
Your dreams were your ticket out.
Welcome back, Shelley.
Welcome back. She's going to chew.
What, you're just chewing in the
She's
microphone?
She's going to kettle chip us to death.
You got kettle cooked chips.
That's it.
Well, I'd like to take this opportunity to say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
And a joyous Yule.
Yeah, well, I'm not politically correct when it comes to that.
Feliz Navidad y prospero año y felicidad.
Did we lost some serious sound issue? Oh, there we go.
What are you, Jose Feliciano all of a sudden?
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Yes, my mother used to sing that. I kid you not. Every single day from the day after Thanksgiving until the day after New Year's. Every day when I was a kid. And she as it got closer to Christmas, she would like burst into our rooms early in the morning singing it and do a little kick line.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You know, you know what? I don't want a lot for Christmas.
Oh, no. Not that's not
what
a Christmas
What do you want
song.
For Christmas? What's all you want for Christmas, Bruce?
All I want for Christmas is you.
Oh, you already got me. So guess what? Then you don't need any presents. No, not that
don't
song.
Don't want a lot for Christmas.
I know you do.
It's okay. I can't do Mariah anyway.
There's only two Christmas songs that I really don't like, and those are the two that he tortures me with every single year.
I know.
Well, I don't really care for a Little Drummer Boy either, but I can survive that one.
No, you know the song that drives me crazy?
Last Christmas.
I gave you my heart.
And the very next day.
He gave it away.
Yeah, well,
this year, to save me from tears, I give it to someone special. The one that drives me crazy, has always driven me crazy,
what's that?
Is the 12 Days of Christmas. It drives me nuts. And the one that drives me even more nuts is the Chipmunks version.
Why does that drive you nuts?
Because it takes four flipping.
You know what?
Kind of like There's a Hole in My Bucket, that song.
You know what the favorite thing I have about the 12 Days of Christmas?
Huh.
Is if you actually put all that crap into an apartment.
Yeah.
The Muppets did a skit like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the ladies dancing are kind of cool. But I don't know how you get nine stripper poles into one apartment.
You know what's weird? You know what's weird that was...
We are all getting struck by lightning.
You know what's weird that was Christmas related is the very first time I ever cried in recovery was watching Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the Rankin-Bass production. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching and they're at the Island of Lost Toys.
The Island of Misfit Toys.
And I'm watching
Misfit.
And all of a sudden I was overcome with grief. I'm like, all those toys,
the poor little
they're
girl.
Not going to children. And then what was the deal with the one toy?
The girl that cried grape jelly.
Is that the doll?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's the doll that cried grape jelly.
She was there because she was a
misfit.
She was a
yeah.
Bipolar.
No,
doll.
She just, okay, back in the day, you could buy dolls that had various functions. They would cry,
they would pee,
or they would eat, or, and they were all these little mechanical things, but usually they only had one mechanical function. And there were crying dolls.
Yes, there were.
Yes.
And this one cried grape jelly.
Yeah. Now, I think would be fabulous. I'd be like, get out the toast.
I'm like, yeah, exactly. I'm thinking if I'm a little girl, I'm like, sweet. Now.
Okay, the Christmas song that drives me nuts is the Christmas song. Because it has a line in it that I don't understand.
Which one?
There are scary ghost stories and tales of the glory of Christmas is long, long ago. That one. The scary ghost stories. Oh, no. Is that scary ghost stories? Marshmallows for roasting and caroling out in the snow. Who tells scary ghost stories at Christmas time?
A Christmas Carol?
Christmas Carol.
That's not scary.
It has three ghosts in it.
It can be.
It's not scary. They're not scary ghosts.
What are you talking about?
The ghost of... They're very scary ghosts.
The ghost of Christmas...
Yet to come.
Yet to come is death.
I know, but he's not scary. It's not scary. Yeah, it's not like this is Halloween.
He was for George C. Scott.
Did you see Scrooged?
Multiple times.
Okay, you don't think that ghost was
scary? It
wasn't
scary to me. It's just the Reaper. Don't fear the Reaper, man.
You didn't think that Bill Murray inside the casket getting cremated?
It was a comedy.
That part of it wasn't, though. Come on. Okay, now, favorite Christmas presents of all time?
I've mentioned this on the show before.
I was going to say, harken back.
The year my mom gave me a copy of Carl Sagan's Cosmos and a telescope. That was the best Christmas ever. I didn't come inside for like a month.
Interestingly enough, my favorite Christmas present of all time has to do with space stuff as well. When I was 8 years old, I got a model of the Saturn V. And it was a 3 foot tall model. And it was a really expensive model. And we didn't have a lot of money when I was a kid. Oh, that was
a lot of good model glue there.
Oh, yeah, it was. I'll tell you what, when I made the Battleship Arizona 1 year, which was the year before that, which was probably at the time my second favorite gift. I was in a room, my room, with the model glue. I wasn't sniffing it on purpose, but, you know, you can just sit around that for just so long before you start to get loopy. Now, Shelley, 1 year, gave me a present that I never got when I was a kid. And I told her I never got it, and I always wanted it, and I never got it, and she gave it to me. Rock'em. Sock'em
robots.
We used it one time, and he kind of went, yeah, it didn't work the way it did in the commercial.
Well, yeah, but you should assume we were manhandling this thing. How about you, Mark? What's your favorite gift ever?
I don't know.
Besides recovery.
Well, yeah, because that'd just be the answer for the show, but... The hell with it. We're all materialistic bastards, so, you know. I don't know. There were a few things. I know 25 years ago, my wife at the time gave me a really nice humidor.
A what?
A really nice humidor. I mean, a really nice one. One of those ones that I still have to this day, and it works perfectly.
Nice.
That was nice. You know, some trips, some things that, you know, we've done. I will say over the last several years, it's changed. And it's really important now to get time with the kids during the holidays.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the thing I like best now is when I, you know, try to get that 1 4-hour period where I can get all my kids in the same room.
I'm so bummed. I missed out on a function that I have only missed on a couple of times in like the past 10 years.
What'd
you
miss?
Rhonda and Terry's
Christmas party.
And I was completely bummed because it's always a zippity-doo-dah fest. Mm-hmm. And we didn't get to go this year. And Terry is a show listener. Mm-hmm. So, Terry, I'm so bummed I missed it. I will not miss it next year because they always put on the fest that we have karaoke.
A really big shoe.
Yeah. Oh, no, it is. It is. Yeah. There's food and
it's a great
thing.
An ornament exchange thing that invariably ends up hilarious.
Yeah.
Play this game.
Really, really good.
Who won the ugly slipper contest?
Well, she did an ugly slipper contest 1 year that I won.
Uh huh.
Those were really ugly slippers.
Mm-hmm.
but they were very comfortable. But it's usually an ornament exchange.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what is... when you were in your active addiction...
Yeah.
What was Christmas like?
Well, considering that I was a binger, so there were only like three Christmases during which this happened. The first one, I was at college, and it was fine because I was partying. I don't really remember it much. My parents were in Ohio. And then they flew me out to Ohio. I don't remember much about that trip either. I'm not sure where I went. And then the other one was after my ex and I split up. And that was, I remember that year being extremely depressing. But I don't, again, I was probably, you know, Connor was probably with his dad and I was sitting home drunk. And then my third and my last binge. Oh, that was the year that your brother gave me a bottle of Captain Morgan spiced rum. That was awesome. I was drunk for 2 weeks. Not on that one bottle, but, you know.
Yeah.
Started the chain.
I started the party with that bottle.
Nice. How about you, Mark? What was it like back in the day?
My favorite Christmas song.
White Christmas?
Let it snow, let it snow, oh. Let it snow.
Either one.
That's
they
right.
Both work.
Yeah.
When I had gotten into slamming, it was difficult to get time. You know, I was living at my parents' house. It was difficult to get time to do what I wanted to do.
Right.
Christmas time was perfect for that because I'm like, I'm wrapping presents. You guys cannot come into the room.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And when I look back on it now, it's so overly sad, you know. I mean, I missed out on so much holiday festivities for stupid stuff
oh, sure,
like that.
Sure, we did. You know, and it's...
And...
I mean, Christmas dinner.
Yeah, you know, not so hungry.
Yeah. Yeah, you and I were big Coke users.
I had a rather...
I love Christmas dinner.
I had a pretty big dog, actually, that was...
Got even bigger?
I remember one morning... You know, we would have kind of a big Christmas breakfasty thing, too.
Uh-huh. And you've been up all night.
Right before we'd do the presents.
And you've been up all night.
And I'd been up all night.
Mm-hmm.
And
reveling in some Christmas cheer.
My mom gives me all this food, and, you know, I really, I'm all blazing on cocaine. I didn't want to eat any food.
Yeah.
But my dog was a pretty good-sized dog, about 75 pounds, and I just basically just dumped the plate on the floor right next to me. This dog, you know, and it was all cleaned up and licked up off the floor in no time. My mom says, oh, my God, you must have been starving. Let me get you some more.
No, I'm okay.
No, I told her I was okay. Oh, no, I'll bring you some more. My dog later on is, like, laying over by the fireplace just, like, burping.
Burp. Yeah.
Now, what's your favorite thing about Christmas?
Christmas Eve services at my church.
Actually, that's pretty cool.
Used to be it was at 7 p.m. on Christmas Eve every year for a while. And they do the candle lighting at the end of the service. The candle, the light goes all the way around the church. And it's the most beautiful thing is they turn off all the lights and everybody's got a candle. And so far, nobody's burned the church down, which is pretty awesome. Now I'm in the choir and I'm watching the candle lighting happen from the choir loft. It's even more spectacular. It's amazing. But now we do... a midnight candle lighting. So the service starts at 11 and the candle lighting happens right around midnight. And then right after the candle lighting, everybody goes home. And that is probably the most peaceful, joyous hour of my entire year is that 1 hour.
How about you, Mark?
The Christmas Eve service at the church I go to, they end with the same song every year. Not one of your favorites.
Let it snow.
Little Drummer Boy.
Oh.
Yes, yeah, really? I don't have any problem
last
with that.
Last year, they had 26 drummers on the stage.
Wow, that would be pretty special.
All different types of drums.
Tommy Lee over
in
the corner.
It was awesome. I mean, it's just, you know. And what's funny is the drummers are all in the congregation, and they all come up and they all go grab their drums and take them up on the stage.
Oh, cool.
And then so you start out with two guys playing.
Yeah.
And by the time you're done, the stage is just full of drums.
My favorite thing is giving presents. Now, of course, when I was young, my favorite thing was getting presents. But now I like to give presents. Unfortunately, this year I've given Shelly everything I was going to give her already.
I already got all my prezzies. And they're freaking awesome. And I'm using them, and I love them.
Perfect.
Now, how about this? And I know we discussed this on last year's show. And I know we have differing opinions. Mark, your favorite Christmas-themed movie? Because, you know, there's a few. There's a few.
I mean,
It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, Christmas Vacation,
Mine's a Halloween crossover, though. The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Really?
Love that movie. But as far as the classics go, White Christmas.
Well, while I am a big fan of Holiday Inn, which is one of my favorite movies, and it's the other movie that the song White Christmas was in, because White Christmas was in the movie White Christmas, and it was also in
Holiday Inn.
Yeah, I got to go with Chevy Chase. Christmas Vacation. That cat had 9 lives. He used them all. Because I know that Shelley's is different.
Yes.
Is there a special award in your movie?
It's a major award.
A major award?
Christmas Story. I read that book, actually, when I was a kid, the Gene Shepherd story that came from. And it was hilarious when I was reading it. And then when I was a teenager and I saw the movie for the first time, I think I was like, I don't know when it first came out, but I think I may have actually peed my pants a little bit. I was laughing so hard. I can't remember. I love that movie so much at Christmas time. Mama Finger and all the Bumpus's dogs coming in and stealing. And then they go to the Chinese restaurant for Christmas dinner and the guy whacks off the duck's head. Wah! Oh, that was so funny. Oh, and the Red Rider double action carbine BB gun with the compass and the stock and this thing which tells time.
Actually,
you'll shoot your eye out.
And there's other movies that get like honorable mention, like
Scrooged.
Well, yeah. See, there a long time that was my favorite one. But there's also the Santa Claus with Tim Allen, where
So let me get this straight. Your Christmas movies are all a little off center from what Christmas is.
Well, there's a scene. There's a scene in that where he's trying to make Christmas dinner because he's got his kid. He hasn't had his kid in a long time. He's trying to make it, and he screws it up so badly because he like sets a turkey on fire or whatever. So they go to Denny's, and he looks over at this father and son sitting at another table, and he kind of like tips his hat to him, and the guy goes to wave to him, and the guy's hand is bandaged. And I'm like, you know, this is the other dad that tried to cook Christmas dinner.
You know, my niece.
But I used to like Miracle on 34th Street, where the guy claims to be Santa Claus, and the post office doesn't know what to do with all this mail, so they send it to him. And, of course, he wins the court case because the United States government has said he is Santa Claus.
But he might be. My niece, a few years ago, got really into – she discovered the Hallmark Channel.
Oh, geez. Holy crap.
Which is Christmas movies 24 hours a day, 7 days a week right now.
Right.
And she went over to my mother's house, her grandmother, and turned it on one day. And now my mother is 24/7.
The Hallmark
Channel. The Hallmark Channel watching Christmas movies.
Which channel is that, on Fios?
So I'm watching. We're talking today because we have almost virtually every Sunday my family gets together for dinner. And my mom mentioned something about a movie came on the other day, and she started watching it and realized she had seen it before. Now, they don't rerun movies over the course of this thing. They just play every Christmas movie there is.
Yeah.
And what we tried to explain to my mother is, no, you didn't see it before. Every one of these movies has the exact same theme.
Yes.
Divorced father with daughter, divorced mother with two kids, divorced somebody with somebody, You know, it's like a country song. Loses right. their job, car breaks down,
dog runs away,
kidnap your boss,
and then at the end of the movie, they play the country song backwards.
Yeah,
and they get everything back, and it's great. They either fall in love with somebody who's either an angel or knows an angel, and you know, it's just I'm going. Every one of these movies is the same. And we're all obliged to go sit and watch one with her.
How about unusual Christmas movies? And I can think of one right off the bat.
Die Hard.
That's exactly what I was thinking, because Die Hard was...
That is technically a Christmas movie.
At Christmas time.
I'm getting too old for this shit.
Yeah. And because all I could think of is the one scene where, you know, there's snow and everything, and he's like, and in the background, he hears, "The weather outside is frightful." And I'm like, oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. Now, Mark, what are your plans for Christmas this year?
No. Part of the reason, besides the fact that people decided to drive like idiots, that I was late getting over here, was all of the end-of-the-year plans were being made tonight.
Ah.
So, and I had to stay to the last plan.
Yeah. Otherwise, they'll make plans and not tell you.
Well, no, they'll
plans
make,
that you can't
they'll make
do.
Plans, and there's... There's certain plans that I try to guide a little bit.
Yeah.
We all try to guide plans to make sure that nothing's at my mother's house. Because mom at 84 doesn't cook quite the way she used to.
Yeah.
And she tends to lose track sometimes in the middle of making things.
Oh.
So, and my mother smokes 2 packs of cigarettes a day in her kitchen. So none of us really want to go into the house any more than absolutely necessary. So we were making plans, and we've got Christmas Eve, we will go to church. And originally on Christmas Eve, we were going to church, and then we were going to a restaurant for dinner. But now we found out we have more people than we thought we were going to have. So now we're going to church and going to my sister's house. Wait, hold on.
Now I can't remember.
We're going to church and coming to my house for Christmas Eve.
Hey, Stater Brothers?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, right now. 77 cents a pound for ham.
You got to buy $25 worth of groceries, but 77
Dude,
cents a pound
this
for
is
ham.
Me. We're doing sausage and peppers.
Yeah, but you know what? Like us, I'm like, 77 cents a pound. I don't care if we eat it for Christmas. We're going to make ham sandwiches
out of
it.
Exactly, yeah. So Christmas Day is dinner at my sister's house, which they were pushing to 2 o'clock. And I pointed out to them that Debbie and I will be at her mother's house at noon for lunch. So I got pushed back to 4.
I got to give a shout out right now to Stater Brothers, as a matter of fact.
Right.
So we go in.
This is horrible because I'm going to have to take this thing back.
No, you don't. And I'll tell you why. We go there and the ham's 77 cents, right?
Yep.
Well, it turns out you got to buy $25 worth of groceries.
But it only says on a tiny, tiny, tiny little letters underneath all of the big splashes.
But it does. So Shelly ends up with $22 worth of groceries, so we can't get the ham. And she's like, oh, it's okay. It's all right. We don't get the ham. As we are putting all this stuff in the basket, the cashier, we're just starting to push away. He goes, oh, hey, you forgot this bag. And he gives another bag. I just throw it in the thing. I don't think anything of it. We get out to the car. We're putting the stuff in the car.
It's the ham.
And the bag he gave us at the end was the ham. And Shelly's like, I got to take it back. I'm like, I don't know about you, but I prayed for God's will today.
Yep.
And this guy paid me forward a ham.
Well, nope.
I'm taking the ham back.
Here's the thing about the ham. I would go bargain. I would take the ham back and say, this is why I wasn't supposed to get it. You guys sent it with me because it was supposed to be 77 cents a pound, but I had to buy a certain amount of groceries. Now, if I just return this to you, you're going to have to throw it away because by law you can't resell it. So I'd like to pay you 77 cents a pound for it.
There you go. That's fair.
I think it was God's will that we got. Did you pray for God's will today?
Of course.
And so did I. So everything that happened today was God's will.
God's will was to put you into a predicament where you have the opportunity
Yes, to do the right thing.
To do the right thing.
Maybe it was God's will to give me a free ham. I'm thinking it was God's will to give me a free ham. Who am I to second guess God?
We all know what's going to happen with the ham, so.
Yeah, Shelly's going to take it back and pay 77 cents
a pound. Yes.
Nah.
And they're going to actually be very impressed that you brought it back. And
they'll give it to me for 77 cents a pound. It wasn't our fault. I mean, it wasn't like we took
the ham. Because otherwise
they have
to throw it away.
Yeah.
So, Shelly.
Yes.
What would your final words on Christmas be?
Merry Christmas. And happy Hanukkah belatedly.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Well, and happy Kwanzaa.
Merry Kwanzaa.
Yeah, happy Merry Christmas Kwanzaa. There you go.
Mark?
Merry Christmas and try to make it to one extra meeting during the holidays.
Oh, yeah, we're supposed to get something recovery related.
I did.
Here, aren't we?
We're good.
Woohoo! We're good, good, Mark. Yeah. Don't die. Don't drink
Don't
or use no matter
die.
What.
The greatest gift I've ever been given in my entire life is the gift of recovery. So Aww. If you've been given that gift, hold on to that dearly and don't give it up. Merry Christmas to all. Shelly.
Yes.
We have or Mark, we have a friend in the Inland Empire.
We do. That would be the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com/IE.
Sweet.
Where you can go up and read that publication and support our friends.
Speaking of supporting our friends, Shelly has a book out.
Oh,
ebook.
Here we go again.
Ebook.
Yes, on Amazon. Shelly Burnett updated her status. You want it for Christmas.
You know you want it.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Buy
Great.
It tomorrow or I'll kill you.
You know what I always used to wonder? What if like Arnold was your sponsor? Walk the steps, I'll kill you myself. Can you imagine he's looking at you, he's like, look at you little wimpy gully boy, you can barely lift your inventory. Shelly, people
yes.
listen to the show.
Any way that you listen to the show, we really appreciate it. If you could go to our website, though, recovery101.net, click on one of the shows, click like or permalink. You've just been counted. Jeez, that was delayed. Thank you. You've just been counted. That helps us with our demographics. If you are not a member, you will have the opportunity to become a member. It is free.
And fun.
And you can like old shows. You can leave comments and topic suggestions. You can add us to playlists for all your Christmas party
whoop,
needs.
Whoop.
Oh, yeah.
And you can follow, which will get you automatic updates when we post the shows.
You can follow every day.
Yes, and I've been trying to post the shows on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so shoot for those days.
And we have been doing a bang-up job of that as well. If you are Facebook friendly, it's super-duper-duper easy to join Podomatic because you can choose to log in with Facebook, and it'll log you right in Tootsuite. They will not spam you, but you
Toot
will get a notice, one email notice when we put up a new show. Also, we, if you're Facebook friendly, you can like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. If you want to be anonymous on Facebook, you can join the Recovery 101 secret group. That's a group that you will not be able to find if you search for it.
But look anyway.
If you message Shelly Burnett or Bruce Burnett or Bill Piper, we can certainly add you to the group.
Oh, that reminds me. I got to check my other folder.
I just added a guy to the group, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Liam.
Ah, yes. Shout out to Liam.
You know who Liam is?
Yes, I know who Liam is.
It's,
thank you.
It's William.
William.
Yeah. You know what? It never occurred to me before that Liam came from William. I don't know why. It just never occurred to me.
Well, it occurs to you now.
We also have an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can send comments, topics, suggestions, and things like that to that. If you want to send a jingle, we'd be more than happy to have it. We will play it if you send it. And if you have a band or something and at least one person is in the band and you want to send us
That's
some lead
sober.
Up. Right, this is over.
Because one person will be in the band.
Yeah,
I don't know what I was saying. I got to stop drinking before the show. We will use your lead-out music as well and help you promote it. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
And Shelley, who's all, is Mariah Carey the lead out music?
No.
Oh.
Whoa.
Actually, what Christmassy music could we use for the lead out music?
Yeah, I don't know. You're the queen of the lead out music.
I don't know either.
Is Jingle Bells public domain yet?
I don't know. I don't know. Who should I use for lead out music?
Nothing says Christmas like the genitals.
That's true.
That's right.
That's true.
Nothing,
all right.
Nothing would say it like that.
Yes. Okay, there you go.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it. Be the example and have an awesome Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Ho, ho, ho.
So much about him to love, and when I say that I can't live without him, it's just that living without him wouldn't be living, 'cause there's a way in which he brings me my sunshine, my blue skies and all my rainbows too, and in return I like to give him the weather, the stars above and all my morning. Sits on my face when he disappears, and it seems there's something special about him, though everybody's special in their own special way, but there's something about his kind of special, his kind of special really makes my day. Love for me.